Last week, you know, we ended at verse, we're going to pick up at verse 20, but we ended with verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And we talked about that understanding of abiding love. John uses that word abiding a lot, and abiding in his love. And what we need to understand is that it's always God who initiates, and we're the responders. When we talk about love and what the world is saying, and you know, to a great extent, I think that the church has made it a work. And it wasn't ever meant to be. Listen, love is not a work unto salvation. It is a work out of salvation. All right? It flows out from our being born again. You know, John talking about being born of God. This is the ultimate. Paul, obviously, and we looked at that in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, that you know, it that we can be right. And I know that my doctrine is good. I know that I believe what the Word of God says, right? But if we don't have love, it doesn't really matter. We're just clanging cymbals. And so we're responders to this agape. It's love that is freely given without any strings attached. All human love is based on feelings and has strings attached. We give our love in hopes of getting something in return. Sometimes our love is contingent on whether or not we are getting what we want, right? And those are the other kinds of loves, the eros kind of love, the erotic kind of love, or the brotherly love, and you know, the other loves that we discussed. It is the highest affection man is created to give or to receive. It is the purpose we are created for. Everybody wants to be loved. And because God is love and we are created in His image, we desire love. It is, we could say it's genetic. It's what we are created to experience. It's the pinnacle of our relations one to another, and it is the purpose in which we have been created, to love God and to love others. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul wrote, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." It is natural. We are born with the need to be loved. And agape is a spiritual gift, and God is the source. It is difficult. Without God, actually, it is impossible. And I realize I am not always the most lovable person. Bite your tongues. Maybe there's a reason why Beth has gone this weekend out to watch Hannah ride. And I'm not always the most loving person. It's when I'm not abiding in His love for me that I realize that my relationships suffer. It is all incumbent upon my relationship with Him. Just as God initiates His love to us and we respond, it is to flow through us to one another. Our love is conditional. The love that we are capable of, the love that we often show towards others, is conditional. And we tend to love others only if they show that love to us. It is a responding love, not an initiating love. In fact, agape is a constant, unconditional love that does not require a response. God does not stop loving us when we ignore His love, or we fail, or we falter. Agape is always other-centered, not self-centered. And John does not soft-pedal how the church is to operate in God's love. Brothers and sisters, we are held to the highest standard of our Heavenly Father. We are to love one another. In verse 20, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And it's easy, listen, it's easy to say you love God. It's easy for me to say that. There really is no way to prove otherwise, right? In relativism today, I love God, that's my truth. In chapter 1, John says it will be evident in how we live. In chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And he goes on, you know, to talk about keeping God's commandments, living according to what God says is right and what God says is true. And it's how we are to treat one another. In chapter 2, verse 9, he said this, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And I could say I love God, but if I hate anybody in this room, I'm a liar. I'm still walking in darkness. There's no gray area here. You know, one of the things I kept going over and over in my mind, and I've heard it said so many times, it's such a burden to love. Such a burden to love this person. You ever said that to yourselves? It's one thing to say I know God or I believe in God. Even that can be observed by how one treats others, right? Here John takes it a step further. This is an exhortation to the church, not just those who know about God, but believers who have a personal relationship with God. And what he says, and he's not visible, right? How can you say that you love God when you can't even love somebody that's right next to you, that you have seen? If you love God, then you will prove that to be true in your love for other believers. And this is speaking about the brethren, about the church. John is talking about loving your brothers and sisters who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said this, by this they will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. And I was thinking about this morning. Remember the song we used to sing, and it's been a long time. Probably needs to be brought by the church, back by the church. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. And sadly, I think you can walk into a lot of churches today, a lot of fellowships, and wonder if the love of Christ is even in there. We have traded that for human hang-ups, and they'll know we are Christians by where we go to church. Or only by keeping certain sacraments. Or by who or what we vote for. Or about by who or what we condemn. You know, they'll know I'm a Christian because I have the fish on my bumper. So that they can see us, see that we're Christians when we cut them off. And now you know why I don't have any bumper stickers. Because I know that agape becomes a struggle as soon as I get on the road. To my defense, I can't tell who's born again and who's, you know, who is not out on the road. But I'm just kidding. Yeah. But here in the fellowship of Christ, it will be evident, John says, if we really love God, if we truly love God. And he says, if you hate a brother or sister in Christ, that is somebody that you actually see and have a relationship with or can relate to. How can you say you love God who you can't see? Love is the crucial measure of whether I am abiding in his love, that I am born of God. in Christ's church, demonstrating agape for one another to a world that is looking for something more than what the world offers, that hopeless, empty, counterfeit love that the world substitutes for the love that God has for you and for me. And so John writes, "In this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." We are commanded to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, to love one another. And what that makes it when it's a commandment is a matter of will. Some of you looking at me like, don't meddle, right? John's meddling and the Holy Spirit's going to probably do a little meddling this morning. Jesus said, "If you love me, then keep my commandments." To love God supremely and to love others, I say that over and over and over again. Because what the world is calling for is for us to love others without acknowledging that it can only come from loving God and from knowing a loving God. They want to keep that out of it. "Well, I just can't love this person or that person." You ever said that? "I just can't." And John here pins it down. It's not whether you can or you can't. So stop lying to yourself. It really boils down to, will you or won't you? Because it is agape, it is divine love, it is given to those that are abiding in him and abiding in his love and flowing through to others. You only can love the unlovable if you love the Lord. You only can. Can't is not an option of agape. You either will love as God commanded, or you won't. And I talk about this being an athlete. I believe it was John Wooden who used to tell his players when they would come up and say, when things got hard, "I can't." And John would say, "Replace can't with won't and tell me the same thing that you just said." And they'd go back and they would do whatever it was that they thought that they can't do. It's a matter of the will to love. "Well, I don't like being commanded." We all struggle with that, don't we? You see, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. That is a justification and excuse that has flown through the church and it still resides in the church today. That's a cop-out. Let me ruin that excuse for you this morning. You are under grace because you constantly break God's law. Let me say, I shouldn't do that to you. I am under God's grace because I constantly break God's law. You won't keep his law, and because he loves you, he has given you grace. That is only through his son, Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can survive. Jesus tells us that the entirety of God's commandments are summed up in loving God and loving others. He simplified it for you and for me. And it is God's law of love, the commandments. They're not do's and don'ts, they are wills and won'ts. I'm going to say that again. God's commandments are not do's and don'ts, they're wills and won'ts. Only truly loving the Lord with that agape love brings his commandments into proper perspective. Stop copping out. Don't ask, you don't have to ever ask me again, do we have to obey the Ten Commandments? I've heard it, so I've had that question so many times. Yes, we're to obey them. God knows we can't keep them. Do you understand where I'm coming from? That's where grace comes in. And what I understand is I will either obey them or I won't. When I do obey His commandments, His love is proven in me that I am born of God and abiding in His love. It is an act of my will to please Him. And it in turn will be initiated to others. It will flow to others, that love, as I walk in love with the Lord. And when I'm not being loving, I know what the problem is. It's because I'm not plugged into the source. My relationship with the Lord is struggling. And so the next time I'm mean to you or you don't think I love you, just tell me to go get alone with the Lord. I need an infusion. And if you truly love God, that is commandments 1-4. We've done this before. Commandments 1-4 are basically loving God. You understand that? I'll simplify it for you. Then you must love your brothers, John says, and your sisters in Christ. That's commandments 5-10. Now, this isn't talking about all the nitpicking laws that man came up with and Moses' laws. You know, and Moses' laws were good. It's when the scribes and the Pharisees got a hold of them and started, you know, putting laws upon laws. Jesus said, look, you know, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. I mean, dumb laws. You know, you can't. There's stuff like you can't bowl because it takes energy for the ball to go down and take out pins on, you know, on Sabbath, just crazy stuff. Well, we're in Israel. They have Sabbath elevators that go up every floor and down and hit every floor on Sabbath. Now, there's a crazy thing. Beth and I, it took us a couple times to figure out, you don't just put shupper down and then tell it where to go inside. You put the floor number in the pad, so they have 0, 1-0, and then they even have a minus for the basement. And then you put your floor number, and then it says A, B, C, or D, which is, and you have to be ready, because as soon as the people get out, you have to get in, and if you miss that one, you have to go punch your number back in. And they've got the floor number, okay. It's a crazy system that they have, but part of it is because of Sabbath elevators. Things that you can't do to push the floor button is actually work. But Pastor, it's just so hard to love. It's just hard. And I know, we're professionals at making something God has made so easy for us hard to do, aren't we? Especially when we try to perfect in the flesh what God has done in us in the Spirit. That's what you're doing, if it's hard. And he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That is, born again. Born of His Holy Spirit. We've talked about that. John uses that throughout this letter, being born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. That begotten or born out of. What John is saying is, this exhortation is to you and to me, the church, that it's a family thing. This is, we are family. I'm not going to, who is it, Kool and the Gang? I'm not going to break into We Are Family. But we're all born again of the Holy Spirit into God's family. That word believes is not just prayed the prayer. And we've talked about this. There are a lot of people that I believe have been wrongly told that if you just pray this, you're good. That word believes is constant and continuing belief. A daily thing. It's to guide our lives that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And understand, a lot of these are in the neuter, sons and daughters. All right? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God and we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, and I was thinking about this. When I was a kid, man, my brother and I were at each other's throats. We're trying to figure out, you know, how to get one over on the other. I thought my mom had eyes in the back of her head. And now I understand it was just my brother telling on me. God bless him. Walking with the Lord now. So excited for him. But now, you know, just everything has changed. Everything changed actually the morning. One morning, we got he always had girlfriends, and he had his own phone in his room when we were in high school. And he got a phone call at like 3 o'clock in the morning, woke me up, and I heard him yelling and yelling. And he was miserable. We got up in the morning. I said, so how was your phone call last night? And he turned around and he punched me. And his sink, we had double sink. Sink here, a sink here. And then there was the toilet, and then there was the shower. And we had a glass shower door. He hit me so hard, he almost put me through the glass shower door. It was the last time he ever hit me in anger. And our relationship changed then. You know, we didn't want to kill each other. He wanted to look out for his little brother. So, but you know, right when we were younger, all we cared about was whether we get one over on our siblings. But that changes as we get older. And my brother and I love each other. But we show our love by not stealing or coveting what others have. That's what the commandments are, right? We show our love by not murdering or committing adultery with somebody else's husband or wife. We show our love by not gossiping about or speaking falsely about others, tarnishing their character. That's how we show our love for one another. You know, all those things we did to our brothers and sisters when we were kids, we don't do those things anymore. We've been transformed. We've been changed. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Remember, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And he goes, and he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And God's commandments are not burdensome because we recognize they are wisdom from God to live a peaceful and pleasing life. It is the instructions for a fulfilling life, and they are meant to be a gift to you and to me and not a burden. So the next time you wonder if you should live by the Ten Commandments, if you come to me, this is what I'm going to say. Why would you turn away God's gift to you? You know, and in that gift is a gift that when you mess it up, there's grace. But He's given you instructions for living a life that's pleasing to Him. God's commandments are those instructions for this new covenant living that the Scriptures talk about, the new life in Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 31:33, he said this, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And Paul to the church at Corinth in his second letters said this, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. You're a letter. ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. He has written His commandments, His law, on your hearts. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You were created with those laws on your heart. Thirdly, His commandments are not burdensome when we desire to please Him. When I was a kid, there was the law of Mom. That law was ratified by the authority of Dad. But it was Mom's law. The law of Mom seemed like a bummer at times. And it, you know, a lot, because I broke it quite often. But I wanted Mom to be happy with me, to please her by doing good. But I was a rotten little sinner. I knew if I obeyed that life was good and peaceful, even abundant and blessed. When I transgressed, there was punishment. And I wasn't meaning to be a burden, or it wasn't meant to be a burden from her. I know she was instructing me with love. There would often be rewards when I was obedient. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. Loving the Lord and loving other brothers and sisters in the Lord is the evidence of obeying God's commands, living within that precious law that He has given us. Fourthly, His commands are not burdensome when we are abiding in Him. When you truly love someone, listen, when you truly love someone, nothing is a burden. It's a struggle, you know, it's a struggle in our for spouses in our relationships. I was thinking about, you know, nothing. There is nothing I wouldn't do. When I met Beth and I knew that this, you know, that we were going to be together. Selfishness always creeps in. You see, love is exemplified in obedience. As I recognize, as I'm thinking about this, Jesus wasn't feeling it to the cross. He went to the cross in obedience to His Father. The burden He took to the cross was not His love for you and for me. It was the weight of sin. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And this is the love of God, that He sent His Son to die for you and to die for me. If loving was a burden when you walked in this morning, and maybe there's somebody in your life that it seems that it's a burden to love them, you should be grateful that it wasn't a burden to Him to love you. So much that He sent His only Son so that we might know. Not this fake counterfeit love that's being sloshed around in our society today, but we might know the divine love, the agape love of a loving Father. It should be displayed here. It should be exemplified in the church. And if it was a burden, if love was a burden this morning when you walked in, here is the opportunity to get plugged into the true source. Whatever made it a burden, lay it down. Lay it down this morning. You know, one of the things it talks about, if you have anything against a brother, if you have anything against a sister, before you bring your gift to the altar, put that aside and go and make things right with your brother or your sister. Oh, but I'm here to sacrifice my praise. No, the Lord said, I don't want that gift until I know that things are right with my children, my brothers, with my, you know, with my sons and my daughters. You know, it's, you hear all the things, the sayings of the world, you know, the church is the only place where they eat their young and all these things, but you can't help but think that they're observing it in some places. And I'm not talking about hating sin and desiring to live a life, you know, that pleases God, to, you know, doing our best to not live in sin. But throwing others, each other under the bus to make ourselves feel better, that shouldn't be here. And I've heard it. And I've seen it. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.